Welcome to another week of the Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I have Philip Walthall sitting here on my right, and James Uessler on Skype, and Morgail. I have Gail Stevens on Skype as well. Oh, me. So, been an eventful week. And we've had some good services here this morning. So, people, talk to me a little bit. What's on your minds? Silence, crickets.
Hello, hello. There isn't much on my mind this morning. I stayed up too late, and now I'm crashing against the wall. But I'm sure I'll respond if somebody yells at me. And I got that you said more, Gail.
Certainly more and not less, right?
Well, I keep trying to be less anyway.
You know, I am curious about Morgail.
Oh, gosh. I rue the day I ever picked that name because it has bit me so many times. But now it's all over everything. So, how do you get...
What was the M-O-R stand for?
Well, it was when we were doing that TV thing there.
Blog.
Yeah, blog TV. So I had a blog TV show. So I got everything ready to do it, and then the whole thing crashed anyway. But I had to have a name, and I liked Morgan and Morgaine, so I picked Morgail. And, you know, it was catchy. But anyways, now it is just awful.
It has become an albatross.
Absolutely. Perfectly.
Paul, I don't know what that word means. Albatross. Could you explain that one?
I don't either, Phil. You're not alone.
It's about like a millstone.
You are not alone. All right. Okay, quit.
Something I wish I never did that's still stuck on me. How about that?
There you go. Symbolic of a cursed thing. That's what it is. A bird. It's like when you're alone in the woods and the vultures start circling.
Paul, I'd really try not to be alone in the woods. I mean, just saying.
When they have marked you out as the next meal.
Dead thing that's about to happen. Yeah. Gotcha.
That's not a good thing. So, the Steve's message, the foolishness of preaching. And, you know, there's nothing that sounds stupider than when you have compiled especially in a teaching hospital, a staff of grand inquisitors who all ask the same set of questions, one parading after another. The in a teaching hospital, they are the cumulative wisdom of the natural. And they don't want to hear anything about, well, I just don't believe there's anything wrong with me. Because that's foolishness. We can look at you and see you're all screwed up. Come on, man. We don't even need any diagnostic tools. We don't need the imaging. We can tell you're messed up just by the way you look. And you go, yeah. That may be true, but I'm not sick. Okay, maybe I am sick. But I'm not sick with what you say I'm sick with. None of them want to hear that.
Now, by the time they get done with you, then they're ready to send you to their psychiatrist because you're screaming at people. Leave me alone.
Yeah, well, I found that when it comes to information, less is more. You just don't answer the questions anymore. I'm tired of it. Let me just record the answer to the first person, and I'll just play it back for each preceding person that comes through.
You know, it's funny when we say the foolishness of preaching, and you know, it's like right now as we're talking about it, it's like a skipping stone, you know, kind of going across the Old Testament.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at, you know, one. I mean, on a personal note, I remember, you know, Ricky, you know, Phil, you know, and the situation, Hope and I, we got married, didn't have a place to live, and all these things, and well, Phil, just trust the Lord. Well, exactly how do you do that? Well, you choose to, but, and then you go back. I mean, it's kind of the
opposite of not trusting yourself.
Right. Well, I mean, what does it take? What does the Lord say? Take no thought for the morrow, take thoughts for itself. You know, in the, I mean, we feed the birds. I feed the birds. Right. But, I mean, you go and he goes in. Taking no thought for these needs, to trust me in these things. Yeah. And you know, isn't this what the Gentiles seek after, is what he says? I mean, that's what this world does. They look to seek for their own to take care of themselves. And the Lord's telling us to do the absolute opposite, which is trust me for all these things and be about my business, is what he says.
It also,
and you know, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Phil. It also says, you know, that I know what you have need of before you ever ask.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, I mean, the foolishness of preaching is one of just contrary all to the world. And, I mean, you even take a look at the examples of what the Lord would have the people do. Well, I want you to go ahead and, what was that? I want you to, and it's shout at the walls of Jericho. You know, Abraham, you know what? I want you to go up there and kill Isaac. You know, Noah, I want you to build an ark. It's never rained before. I mean, so you got all these examples of what the Lord had people do was just, I mean, to the world and to the natural is foolishness, right? I mean, you look at it, it's like, go up, you promised that my seed was through Isaac. That makes no sense for me to go up and offer them as a sacrifice. You know, Noah wants you to build an ark. Lord, it's never rained before. You want me to build an ark? What? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying these were the responses of the people, but if you look at it from the natural, it makes no sense.
Right.
It makes no sense. But that's where the Lord moves, you know.
It's why we don't lean on our own understanding.
Amen. Amen.
Well, if we do, it limits us. It's very limiting. I mean, just think about just this one thing. We lean to our own understanding. Joseph, Steve's and Megan's son, wouldn't even be walking around today. If we lean to our own understanding, that is not possible that a child can be dead for we don't even know how long, and then come back. So, just from that instance, you know that it is limiting. Just like casting out demons, you know, praying for our health and being healed. If we lean to our own understanding, it's just not going to happen. How can you think away or believe away a cold, even? Never mind something more serious.
Right.
And, you know, I was sharing a little bit this morning, and we were talking about this last night, bring up Paul. I mean, one of the things that, you know, when Robin said, well, Phil, I mean, somebody to make decisions starts getting your place ready. I mean, that's an act of faith. I mean, you're in the hospital in really bad shape, you know, in the natural, to go and fix up the place should be like, what's that for? But, you know, that was really, if you look at it, an act of faith, expectancy, you're coming home soon.
Right. It's a hope.
Home soon. Yeah.
And it was delivery to the people that participated.
Amen.
To agree with that. In spite of it was the dumbest natural thing to do on the face of it.
Right.
And on the backside of that, everybody got to partake of some of the blessing of it.
Amen.
So, I was just thinking to myself, because, you know, stuff's floating through my head as I'm preparing to go up after Phil. And one of the things that hit me that I'm sitting, you know, I got to remember this thing. This is the thing that I got to remember. I got to remember to say this thing. And of course, I got up there and I forgot.
Yeah, I did that too.
Actually,
on a lot of things.
But, you know, so much of our word, at least mine, was about the Lord's great patience concerning us and the constant extensions of grace and mercy that, you know, how we are with that is even, you know, the most steadfast and dedicated ministers, you can wear them out with that constant rejection. And we as ministers have a tendency to give up on people way before the Lord has. And it's really a shameful testimony, because if we understood the gravity and the greatness of the grace and mercy that, and the multiple times it's been extended to us and the continuity of its extension to us, wouldn't be so quick to give up on people.
Well, I think we have to remember what the alternative is. You know, if we give up, you know, who's to say there's another chance around the corner? You know, if the Lord gives it to us to do.
Well, I would say that if you're certain that's where the Lord's position is, then you're all right to do that. If you're not certain that that's the Lord's position, then you have no business even thinking about it.
Yeah, amen. Thank God nobody gave up on me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm right there with you, Gail. Right there with you.
I think it was Friday night when we had the Bible study where my mom mentioned, you know, there's only two places that we all are going to end up. There's heaven and there's hell. And if we look at it in that perspective, you know, the long-suffering hell, I mean, big deal. Do you know what I mean? Extend that grace till they either get it or just completely walk away. It's, and there's two choices. And to be merciful for them is, you know, give that same grace and extend that same mercy that the Lord's given us, and the people that the Lord has put over us and have done for us is the only thing we can do.
Amen. And you know, you know what scripture comes to my mind is in Philippians 2, which one of the things that I really wanted to hit on in service, I should have just done and I forgot, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Robin wrote in here, is merciful to the merciful. I mean, when you come to that perspective that each esteem better than themselves, is that you really understand. You really, truly understand the grace that is given unto you. And what the Lord has done for you.
Yeah.
I mean, because I tell you, the highlighting of how merciful the Lord has been to me has been great here lately. And then when you see others, you realize how much grace you had needed. That extension of partaking in the Lord's grace for them, whatever it may be. is one that you just really want to extend. I mean, it's actually a joy to extend. Too. Because, I mean, you recognize how much you need His grace. I don't know if that made any sense. I don't know if I said it right or explained it right.
Our ministry is not to show how good and forgiving and loving and upright we are. It's to show how good and loving, kind, loving, full of love and kindness and grace and mercy the Lord is. It's how good He is. We bring nothing that we haven't received. There's nothing we bring because we were right in any way, shape, or form before we met the Lord. We are what we are because He's good.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, you can... And that's what I'm talking about. That's a better explanation of this.
By acknowledging how much we fall short.
Right.
And that it is only by Jesus.
Amen. That's what I'm...
Part of what Paul refers to as having, therefore, no confidence in the flesh. His testimony is that, you know, if there was one that could have confidence in the flesh, it would be me. But even I don't have confidence in that. His testimony of himself can be as touching the law. Perfect. Oh, man. That's a scary proclamation to make. But, I don't know anybody that even comes close to as touching the law being perfect.
I always thought that, too. That was quite a bold statement. I knew one thing, well, I know two things about that. It's without the Lord, I can confidently walk right off the cliff and go to hell. That's for certain.
You don't even need any guidance.
No. I mean, that's where you're all going. Like one big funnel, you know? And that's the other, another way to say it is just that we were all dead people walking. Dead people walking without the Lord.
Another reference to the walking dead. Great. Great to work that one in there.
I did not. But I really do think of that because it's like a flower that's cut off, you know, and it's dead already. It just takes a little while to wilt.
All right, I did sort of screw up the quote, but quotes out of Philippians chapter 3, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That is a bold statement. But the truth of the matter is the righteousness that's in the law is man's righteousness, and it doesn't avail you anything.
That's right. Nothing more than a swift walk right off the cliff into hell.
It'll be blameless concerning that. It might impress people, but it doesn't get you the righteousness of the Lord.
Amen. It's all over the place, you know, in the Word, how, you know, in ourselves, no matter how much we impress ourselves and one another, we're just, you know, just a sounding brass, you know, just an imitation of a real thing, but not a real thing.
Absolutely. And so much the construct of the religious system in as Jesus was ministering and testifying against it was about that which could be observed and is about impressing other people. It really didn't have anything to do with
finding justification before the Lord or being interested in pleasing him. It was about observing their precepts and the commandments and precepts of men rather than even satisfying the law. And to be seen being good at doing it. There was no spirit in it at all. No life in it. And you know, that's really the difference between what's supposed to be the difference between that system and the one we're able to partake of in the New Testament, New Covenant. The New Covenant being we're a functioning and life-filled part of the body. It is not in bondage to death and hell and sin. And yet, what we see unfolding all around us are more constructs of men and a church that is rapidly becoming a religious establishment that's dead. Just like the Pharisaical system back 2,000 years ago. And it really violates the natural, and this is a strange way to put this, it really violates the new nature established by the Lord in relationship, in his new relating to men. Is we're supposed to be the ones that are filled with life, an abundant life at that, and with a testimony of word and deed that is filled with the power of the truth of that dynamic that is him working in and through us, giving us a ministry of life, and that more abundantly to those who can receive it.
You know, I have long thought that when it came to the law, that somehow they ended up making an idol out of it.
They did.
Yeah, they just took the whole thing, missed the lesson, and made an idol out of it. And they added to, enlarged it for themselves. So it was just, it's the ones like the Pharisees that's all they did was look at the law. Well, think of the Supreme Court now and how the intent of the laws that were written down are, just twisted and rendered to suit some purpose now that really is a complete departure from what was intended. They did a lot of that too.
I'm sitting here actually still looking in Philippians chapter 3. And we're talking about 6 concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. Back down in 9, it says what he's pursuing is to be found in him, not having his own righteousness, mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Because that righteousness is not... about works.
It's not even really righteousness.
The only righteousness that counts is that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It is his righteousness that covers us. Our righteousness cannot cover us. Can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees.
and
you're toast. But the cool thing is, and the only way that that was going to happen, because I mean they were good at the law, but the only way that that could happen, exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, is by believing on Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of what He has done. That's it. It's by His righteousness covering you. That's it. I mean, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He had a faith in God and what He was able to do.
That's it.
It's, you know, you were reading in John 8 today, and my mind hearkened to they said we be the children of Abraham. We've been in bondage to no man. And Jesus said to them, if you be children of Abraham, then do the deeds of Abraham.
Believe God. And, you know, here's God standing before them, and they're not believing Him. They're rejecting Him. And, you know, it's... and what strikes me interesting in that one is we'd be in bondage to no man. Is that what they say? Or is it, or we mean bondage? I'm thinking about, well, one, there's that centurion soldier. That's one. But, you know,
see, Jesus said, you shall know the truth shall set you free. And he said, free? We'd be in bondage to no man.
Right.
We'd be children of Abraham.
Well, one, I'm sorry, but this...
What's that centurion doing there?
Yeah, what's that centurion doing there? But we also have, I mean, in this world, like as far as my flesh is going to be in bondage to whatever, but my soul can be free in Jesus Christ, and my soul and my spirit can be free in Jesus Christ. And not only that, what are you in bondage to that law you're trying to uphold that is not doing you anything, any good at all, you know?
Well, it was just an out-and-out lie. I mean, they were in bondage to Rome. You know, they were in complete bondage to Rome. How they could even say that is beyond me.
Well, yeah, and you know, and I looked at that. I mean, and I looked at that, Gail, is that they were in bondage to Rome. And at the same time, I mean, when it comes to our physical bodies, which we dwell in Christ Jesus and the freedom which He has, we are free indeed. And the truth sets you free, and we are free indeed. But as far as the physical sense, I mean, I obey the laws of this land. Am I, the physical sense, am I free? Well, no. In the sense of, I get taxed, I get, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? I mean,
oh, yeah.
The government has a control over the people in America in the sense of, you know, I mean, look, for example, don't pay your taxes. See what happens. They'll just take it away from you. Take whatever that thing is away from you. You're not free as far as here goes. But
right. Just try driving around for a while with no license and no registration until you get stopped and see how well that one works.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, but in Christ Jesus, I'm free. My soul and my spirit is free in Him. You know, so...
Well, this body is, you know, it's of this earth, and it is cursed as well. It's not going anywhere.
Exactly.
it's staying here. But we don't have to have the roots of it grown into our soul and spirit. We don't
Absolutely.
Have to pass. I mean, that's the whole walk of this thing, to get free of it, to take that freedom, actually, that Jesus has already given us, and be free of it. You know,
really,
to live.
Yeah. And I, you know, I used to think a long time, and for example, I used to think, well, you know, if I, you know, Davey, I mean, you're talking, I mean, I'm looking at the biblical sense here when I first, you know, came to the Lord. I'm thinking, you know, I want to still mess around. You know, I want to still, you know, party. And, you know, you're talking about freedom in Christ Jesus. I used to think, I can't, whatever, freedom. I mean, I'm thinking, No, man, if I become a Christian, I'm going to be in bondage because I have to listen to these lists of rules and do's and don'ts. Man, I want to smoke reefer and drink beer and have fun and et cetera, et cetera. You know, but really what the case was is that I was in bondage unto the drugs. I was in bondage unto the flesh. I was in bondage to what that thing wanted me to do, and that thing was dragging me to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I was in bondage greatly, and quite frankly, the end, and that was when I was younger. The older I got, I realized how much bondage I was under. I realized how much bondage I was really under. And, you know, really what the Lord was wanting to do was set me free from those things that was killing me.
Phil, it reminds me of...
And I mean, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were in bondage unto the law and hanging on to something that could not save them. It was going to kill them if they didn't accept Jesus Christ. So, they were very much in bondage.
Phil, it reminds me of, you know, when Jesus says that you can't serve two masters. You know, are we going to serve our flesh or are we going to serve the Lord?
Yeah. And when we serve our flesh, which we don't realize, I mean, serving our flesh, I mean, what we don't realize, serving our flesh is bondage. I mean, serving the Lord is freedom. But serving the flesh is bondage. It's going to kill you. It's going to drag you down. And, there's no joy there. There's no fun there. I mean, for a season, you know, doing those drugs and all might feel good. But we know at the end of all those things, it leaves us in a miserable, hellish feeling place. But in the Lord, I've been higher than I've ever been.
And it ends up destroying you in the process. Physically,
and everybody around me.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't using a metaphorical destruction. I mean, it actually, you know, it destroys the functioning parts of your body. It causes them to fail prematurely, and it physically destroys your body. So it's a gift that keeps on giving. Even after you quit.
Yeah, amen. Sometimes can you stay up for a week on cocaine and think that is going to be good for you? It is not. As far as being, you know, in bondage to your body, holy cow, I don't know. Maybe mine's especially bad. Who knows? But mine is just never satisfied for more than 5 minutes. You know, it's I gotta run and fetch this, I gotta run and do that, I gotta constantly do something for this body if I were living in it all the time. It's how it is. It's a terrible thing.
And you can even take the other side of it, you know, of what do the Gentiles seek? I mean, what is this world? I mean, even the riches of people that you would think, oh man, they got all this money to do whatever they want, they can get whatever they need and all those things. No, a lot of times they're in bondage to that money. They're in bondage of trying to take care of themselves. They're in bondage to all sorts of stuff. I mean, without Jesus, the thing is, you're just in bondage.
That's right.
Yeah, because when you're free in Him, it goes along with what we were talking about earlier about taking no thought for the morrow and your needs being met. That, you know, you believe Him, you have faith in Him, i.e. you trust Him, and He will see that those things are met. If your mind is focused on doing the tasks that He has you to do, the going forward and bringing the gospel to people, you know, if you're focused on that, I'm not talking about just getting stuff to consume on your own lust, but, you know, just doing that and trusting that the Lord will meet all of your needs. And He always, always has. I really have never suffered any without in the Lord. So, I really can honestly say that. There's not one single memory I can't think of. Any time I've gone hungry, that I've lacked clothing, that I couldn't get where I needed to go, you know, to serve the Lord's purposes ever. You know, not once. So trusting him is, it gets, maybe I'll be sorry for saying this, but it gets easier and easier because he never fails.
You know, that's what comes to my mind when you say that, Gail. It's easier and easier because he never fails, you know, trusting him. What comes to my mind is, 1 Peter, the trying of your faith worketh, you know, your faith is more precious than gold and silver. And the other scripture that comes into mind as well is the one that is where we glory in tribulations. You know, knowing this, that, and that's in Romans 5. Because, you know, I look at what starts to happen is that you start to have a confidence in the Lord and what He is able to do. The trials and tribulations strengthen you, and what your faith in the Lord, your faith in the Lord and what He is able to do, and what He is able to accomplish, and what He has already done.
Just strengthen your reliance on the Lord.
Right. Yeah. It's a very simple way to say it.
If nothing else is increased, that's certainly the baseline that is just the Lord's trying to work out in you. Not to have confidence in yourself, but trust that He's going to show up and meet your needs.
Paul.
Totally.
Yes. Amen.
I think, you know, well, I mean, the scripture says, you know, that all men are given a measure of faith. So that means that we all are given the same amount. An equal amount of faith. That's, you know, we put our faith, and I think Charlie's preached on this many times, that we put it in different things and not in the Lord. And these trials and tribulations, as we go through them and the Lord delivers us out of them, we put more and more faith in the Lord. And it's a way for us to be shed of those other things, or, you know, putting...
rely on Him.
Right, reliance.
Amen. Amen.
Rely on His faithfulness and His goodness and His outstretched hand of mercy and grace, and learn how much more we need it than we ever thought.
Yeah, He keeps proving Himself to us over and over and over.
Yep.
It's interesting that you said that. I remember saying that not too long ago. Realizing that you needed Him more than you ever thought. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is, we all need Him very much. We all need Him. It's just...
somehow we're continuing.
Sometimes we don't think we do. And some don't think they need Him at all.
Yeah.
But when situations happen and things happen, come to a place where you need Him. You need Him more and more. And sometimes it's a big doozy that makes us realize how much we need Him.
Well, that part never changed. All that really changed was your relative desire to agree with that.
Yeah, I guess your acknowledgement.
Our need had never changed.
It's funny.
Did I say our need needs
no,
to change?
No, 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 no.
Right. We always, yeah, we need Him, absolutely.
Right.
But
well, you know,
just desperate enough that we're willing to agree with that.
Right.
Yes, yeah.
When we
think about the whole world sticking together, you know, it's by His will that this whole creation stays working. You know, every little breath, every little heartbeat, every little everything, every little thing growing, everything, right down to every atom and all the parts of the atom, and it all sticks together. By his will that this whole thing goes. And it's funny, I can believe that with no problem at all. But little tiny things like, oh my God, is there enough money to go do this or get that? Those little stupid things like that is where, you know, where all of us trip up on and learn that we have to trust him, and you just keep going. That's all. Just keep trying. And the Lord comes through every time. It's just us that gets in the way.
Amen. I like how Rick put that needing him is like, you know, this whole world is headed for destruction. I mean, the whole thing is headed for destruction. And here's Jesus with his hand out saying, I made a way for you not to go with him.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's really the need that we have for him. Is life saving? It's your life depends on him.
He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah, and you know it's a.
And the rest of that is no one comes to the Father but by me.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, Paul. Exactly. There's no way around that.
The law is not going to get you there.
No.
Amen.
Being blameless concerning it, not going to get you there.
Being basically a good person is not going to get you there.
Nope.
Holding the law as a Pharisee, not going to get you there.
So read us some more from that, what was it, Philippians 2? Is there another verse?
There probably is. Let me go back to it.
Paul, I mean, would you like for me to read or something, bro?
Well, of course, the thing that strikes me out of the Philippians 3 is that, you know, when all is said and done, and, you know, if anybody had anything to glory of in the flesh, it'd be him, be Paul. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency that of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Nothing else matters. And verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The whole thing about knowledge in verse 8 and in verse 10, again, that I may know him. All the rest of that stuff doesn't matter a whit. Being able to know him and to be partakers of all that is him, and being able, therefore, as being a partaker of all that is in him, being a minister of that goodness and graciousness to others, to be able to bless them with that same, at least a crack at that same knowledge.
And that's what I was really wanting to hit on before. And then, you know, with lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Presenting them who is the life-saving source. Who is the answer to out of this distress. who is the true Savior that can save you? And you know, what does it say? It says, preach the gospel to every creature. And I remember somebody telling me, you know, preach the gospel and sometimes use words. And you can only do that by esteeming others better than yourselves. Yourself.
Amen. That means that all that, well, Paul was obviously an excellent student, really applied himself and all that, and really lived according to the principles that he was taught. So he did that. And he counted that all as just garbage, just ox dung, you know, just worthless. Plus, he came from a wealthy family. All that stuff, too, he also counted that as just dung, worthless, not important at all.
And at this point, the only thing that matters to him now is the pursuit of everything that is in Jesus that he can appropriate and use to minister to other people.
Amen.
It says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, verse 11, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
You know, as you read that, and even that is a freeing thing. And that's being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus as well. What comes to my mind when you read that? What comes to my mind? I mean, it's like, for an example, I have my daughter's playing this skiing game on the Kinect, and she hits a gate. And let me tell you, she hits a gate, it's like, oh, man. And she hits another gate. Oh, man, I just want to give up. And, you know, what I would tell her is, don't worry about the gate you just hit, or you just missed. Let me put it that way. Just concern yourself with the next one. To try to hit the next one. You know, try to hit the next one. You know, I look at, you know, I mean, the guys at work, I remember telling you, said, look, this is where, what we've been or where we've been at or whatever, but look, let's go forward. Let's, what I would tell them is, let's go forward and press toward a better than what we're operating. Even if we're operating well, but that's over. Or if we were operating bad, you know what? That's over. Let's start operating. Let's see what we can operate in even better. And I look at this, I mean, you know, I look at this in the sense of pressing toward the mark to find out what the Lord would have you do. And we fall and we stumble and we mess up and we miss those gates. But press forward toward the mark to know the Lord. To know him.
There's also a different thing working in Paul here, because, you know, in the Pharisaical system, you strive to have attained something. And, you know, that goal was the mark you were trying to hit. In the new Paul, it's, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended everything that I'm supposed to get. My new desire is to chase Jesus down and get everything that he's got for me to get. And that's may take the rest of my life. But I'm pursuing that to the end. And it isn't a place. It isn't the place that the Pharisaical system delivered to him, a place of attainment. you know, oh yeah, blameless concerning the law. I have attained a thing, right? I have the letters. I have the documents that affirm my position and my place in the new Christ Jesus relationship. His confirmation documents are that he's still in pursuit of everything that the Lord can give him, still in pursuit of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, still in holding that as being above and beyond everything else that he's ever been a part of.
To know him.
Yeah.
And that's what I was hoping to get for.
Well, we did. It just took a circular route.
Well, you know, it reminds me of that scripture where we are to become a perfect man, and that means not that we will ever be perfect individually, but to be perfect in faith. Perfect in faith. That is where we can be perfect. That is the one place we can be perfect. And since we live for today, today is what we have. Yesterday's all gone, and tomorrow may not ever come for us. But we have today. And so to try to be that today. And that's that thing that you were saying too, Philip, that has to do with oh gosh, now the thought went right out of my head. Anyways,
I hate it when that happens.
I hate that when it happens too. I was trying to hang on to two things that I knew. One of them might slip out. There goes Davey. I'm sure he's having a good one at that.
Two is one too many.
I guess. But anyways, in the end, too, we have to stand. You know how you were saying that we kind of jangle and fumble and stumble up that path, you know, going forward. But in the end, we're called to stand in that perfect faith. And so that's why we keep going, because as long as we're not there yet, we have not attained. So we keep striving.
And there's a hope. There's a hope of attaining, because you see Paul writing this letter, and you also see Paul writing another letter where he says, what does he say? He goes, my time is at hand, I believe, and I got a crown. Yeah, and I got a crown waiting for me. You know, and then, I mean, he had the confidence that he was there, not in a confidence.
Finished his course,
right? And he's finished his course, and not a confidence. And don't get me wrong; I don't want to misplace his confidence. He had a confidence in the Lord and the sufficiency of his sacrifice.
Right.
He didn't have a confidence in himself. He had a confidence in the Lord, and you know, right here he's just saying, "Not that I've already attained," because that's where That's where I'm at. Not that I've already attained. I'm telling you, I got a lot to learn. It might be on my deathbed, but I hope I get to the place where Paul is, where he has a confidence, a full confidence.
I understand. And I have a continuing confidence that I still yet have the opportunity. I still yet can increase in my knowledge of him. I can
Amen.
Become an increased partaker of all that is available to me, not to accrue it to myself like the dead in the sea, but to spread it around like the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
To profit all that will hear. And that's really the whole point of laying hold of that for which he has apprehended us.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, and what I'm saying is not that I've already attained. That means I still got a lot of crap that needs to get kicked out of me.
There's, you know, the perfection of that agape love that we can become perfect in, I believe. Mercy, we can extend, become perfect in that, I believe, also. in faith, in hope. I really do think that that is what we're striving for. So that, you know, which is all tied in with preaching the gospel to people, to, you know, bringing the word to others. And we were talking about this the other night, Phil, and you said something about how you just get so excited when you get to bring the word to someone, now. And we were talking about, you know, it's a renewal. It brings it all back again. So, it's not like, you know, it's not like a chore. I mean, it's a real blessing to be able to go out and preach the gospel to others, because we also partake in that joy that comes from, you know, learning about the Lord and the hope, the great hope that is there now, where we were just dead before. That's it.
Before the time gets away from us, I want to... and that's what I'm about to do, is to call a wrap on the show for the day. I hope it's been helpful. I hope that you got some insight or something from some of our ramblings. But what happens every week is the encoder catches me, and usually in mid-sentence. So I want to make sure that it doesn't do that this week, and we actually get to finish the show. Oh, thank you all for joining me. Gail, James, Phil.
Glad to be here. Very, very blessed. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having us.
All righty. Lord willing, see you next week with another Hour of Truth. Hope that you're able to stay safe and increase in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. We have Texas coming up at the top of the hour, just about a minute and a half. So until next time, may God bless each and every one of you.
May the Lord bless you all.